Yoshua Perichav Dalad Pasachav Zayin. So Yoshua has just made a great stone as a monument or a memorial for the bris that just happened. The Devarim Ha'ilah were written down on a sefer. And now, after placing the stone, Bayom Yoshua El Kol Ha'am, Yoshua said to the entire nation, Hinei Ha'even Hazos Tihiyeh Banu Le'eda. Behold, this stone shall be among us or for us. Banu usually means in our midst. Actually, in this case, the Me'am Lois translates it as against us, as an Eda, as a witness. So if anything happens, this is the testimony against us. As we said at the end of the last pasuk, a stone is considered to be immovable and permanent, and so it will testify against us far into the future. Ki hi shama eis kol imre Hashem asher diber imanu, because she heard, or it heard, all the words of Hashem that he spoke with us. V'hai savachem le'eda pen techachashun be'lo keichem, and it will be a witness against you, lest you betray your God. Yoshua, by saying this, is basically saying that his time is up, but it is not obviously the rock that is an aid. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who is an aid. But by giving a physical representation to point to tell the people, this, you know, giant, immovable object of nature is a mute testimony against us. That would be a terrible thing if indeed you transgressed, when you know the witness is standing right opposite you, just accusing you with a silent and accusatory gaze. It heard everything. Everything that we said. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us. B'chol HaSefer Hazeh. According to the pshat that he went over all the laws in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That makes a lot of sense. And then it will be an Eda that the Malbim says that you won't be able to contradict. Shechem was also where he had put his Sefer, whatever that means, Sefer Yoshua, the last day Psukim. And so that also is a testimony. And so the fact that we're putting things in Shiloh by the Mishkan, but the fact that we're also putting things in Shechem, tells you that you have got a tremendous witness testimony against Klal Yisrael should they diverge from the proper path. And the Malbim gets into a discussion of the fact that you can't plant an Eitz in the Mikdash. So this Eitz in Shechem is a unique marker that would not be replicated anywhere by the Mishkan, because you don't have trees in the Mishkan the way you have here. And so there's some discussion about whether we say the Mikdash, do we mean the Mishkan itself? Do we mean Shechem? Do we mean something in between or at both? And so these testimonies are strong and fearsome, and Klal Yisrael has to take note of them. Vayishalach Yoshua Asa'am, Pasuch Avches. So Yoshua sent the nation, Ish L'Nachal Oso, each man to his inheritance. And those are the last words spoken by Yoshua to Klal Yisrael, is a warning. Don't transgress, because there are witnesses against you. And that's a fascinating thing as well. The idea that a Rebbe is going to give Musar to his Talmidim, usually you expect, you know, a nice happy ending. Here he warns them with very strong words about the consequences of their own actions. Now, when the people went home to their own nachalos, the Medrash tells us that this is actually also a truly historic moment for each Shevet, because each Shevet, the very first thing that they did when they got home after the final farewell, was to take care of burying the remains of each Av HaShevet that they had, the 12 Bnei Yaakov. Each one, according to this Medrash, had commanded his children to take his remains back with them. The most famous one whose remains were removed was Yosef. But according to the Medrash, all of the sons of Yaakov were brought. Reuven and Gad were buried in the Transjordan, however, not in Eretz Canaan proper, because that's where their chelik was. And then everybody else, Shimon, Yisachar, Zevulun, Dan, Naphtali, Asher, Binyamin. Binyamin was the one who was buried in Yerushalayim, opposite the Yavusi. Everybody else in various places, Yaffa, Tzidon, Rabbah, on the shores of the Mediterranean. But all of the Avos were brought home and buried properly. Pasuk Chaf Tes, Vayhi Acharei Hadvarim Ho'ela, Vayamas Yehoshua Binanun Eved Hashem. After these things, Yoshua ben Nun, the servant of God, died. And he is the only other one besides Moshe Rabbeinu to get that appellation, Eved Hashem, which is a tremendous, tremendous chizuk. Ben Me'ov Eser Shonim, at the age of 110 years. The only greatest people called Eved Hashem, obviously Yaakov, Moshe, David HaMelech, and at the beginning of this Sefer, Yoshua is not called Eved Hashem. At the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, way back when, if you remember, from the early parts, they called him Misharis Moshe in Pasuk Aleph. And now, at the very opposite end of the spectrum, now he's being called Eved Hashem. Because bringing the Jewish people into a state of a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was considering him like Moshe Rabbeinu, who had brought us into the bris Bahar Sinai. And so he has earned this appellation, Eved Hashem. It's also, unfortunately, because of who human beings are, Eved Hashem is a defense of Yehoshua against people who insult him. There were people, even then, apparently, who wanted to say, since he died 10 years short of Moshe Rabbeinu, he must have been a sinner. It's proof of his averos. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by calling him Eved Hashem, here in the Sefer, is testifying to the fact that although he lost 10 years because of the slower attitude towards finishing the conquest and division, it was not a slander against him that he was a sinner in any way. They were a result of his actions. They were not a punishment. They were merely a midah keneged midah judgment as to what had to happen. But now that Yehoshua is going to pass away, so we will see the final summation of Yehoshua in the final four psukim of Sefer Yehoshua.